Is it okay to take an overpriced listing? In fact, I'd like you to go to your broker tomorrow and say, "Dear broker, I'm doing this pricing program. I'm curious, under any circumstances, is it okay to take an overpriced listing, or should I always pass?" If the broker says, "You should never take an overpriced listing, why would you do that? Every listing is like a part-time job. You want to get paid in every part-time job, so never take an overpriced listing." Well, if the broker says that, no offense, it's an incorrect statement. Look at your office inventory. Look at all your sold properties. What percentage of your company's active listings or under contracts or solds had a price drop? Was it 30%? Was it 50%? Which means they were overpriced, because the buyers get a vote and they'll tell you if you're overpriced. But I would encourage you to find out how your broker would answer that. After all, you are splitting your revenue with the broker, and the broker is an advisor to you and should have some insight. Really, it's just good to see, are they a pricing pro? Are they persuasive on how to work with home sellers? Can they help you? So, in any case, back to the is it okay? It is okay within reason. A few years ago, I was taking a listing and it was 2.3 million, and I told the seller I'd like to be his third agent. He said, "Well, that's kind of pessimistic." I said, "You're south of 1.5 because of these failed listings with XYZ that were on your street in the past 3 years. These are all the failed listings. And your floor plan, it doesn't matter that you owe 1.7 million on the house. You're south of 1.5." So he went 1 year with that realtor, dropped it to about 1.8 from the 2.3, contacted me, and I said, "You're still less than 1.5, and it's looking even worse." Because the market wasn't hot, it wasn't absorbing the inventory, he went with another real estate agent for 6 months. When he came back to me and I listed it for, it was about 1.3, by now he was coachable. Now, most sellers, if the listing's overpriced, we can say, "Tell you what, let's start at your number, seller, provide there's three conditions. One, that the momentum of inventory in your price range has at least one active to one under contract. If there's 15 actives and one under contract, the market is saying to you, you can't do this." Obviously, if it's 15 to 1, it's telling sellers you're all wrong. Even 3 to 1, 3 sellers to every 1 buyer under contract. If there are 3 sellers and 1 buyer, everybody's going through price drops. When you start getting the 1 to 1 ratio, 1 active to 1 pending, it's not on fire, but it's healthy. That's your first criteria, seller. And we can see from your CMA report, the actives versus under contract, that you are in a 1 to 1 ratio. One active to everyone under contract. Secondly, are you one of the best, let's say, top three properties at the dance? So there's 15 properties for sale, and there's about 15 under contract. The question is, are you above average or about average? A property that's above average can push the price in a healthy market. If your house is average, and Bob and Sally, we're at the end of our presentation, and the question is, are you above average? And we all agree that you are. The third thing, and this is probably the most important thing, is are you coachable? And meaning, if the buyers get a vote and nobody makes an offer, we had 5 to 7 showings, they all go back in the car and they drove away, and that represented our pent-up demand set of buyers. Would you find yourself coachable, saying, "Okay, we know we started too high because 5 to 7 people got back in their car and they drove away"? So, question is, what would you do if we had 5 to 7 showings and nobody made an offer? Would you say, "Let's just keep waiting"? Would you realize, because buyers get a vote, we should adjust our price? So, if all three of those criteria are present for you as the realtor, the inventory is about a 1 to 1 ratio, one active to one under contract. The property is one of the best two or three or whatever on the market, and the seller is coachable, and you described it to him what coachable means. Go ahead, take an overpriced listing within reason. Now, 2.3 million that should have been under 1.5, I would have been fired. The other agent was fired after the first year, the next agent after 6 months. It just took that seller quite a while to realize how much pain he was in, because he brought 400,000 or so to closing. And so in any case, it's okay to take overpriced listings if those three criteria exist. That's called a vignette. Practice that vignette, telling if a property is superior or inferior, asking the seller questions. They're all vignettes. And I'm going to encourage you, practice these things, role play. Don't even use this program if you are not going to role play with somebody else. The best ball players, the best football, baseball, basketball, the Olympians are always competing and practicing and role playing. So on game day, they win. What I don't understand about realtors is, why would they risk a lifetime of referrals by not practicing? Because practice is where you make it perfect. You don't embarrass yourself. You actually see yourself closing them. But if you haven't even practiced it, how do you see yourself closing them to a yes? All we want is yes. But too often, people haven't even practiced their presentation. They just assume they're going to get yes. Let's live in a yes laboratory. And that is during your role playing, in front of a mirror, just at a table by yourself, or with your favorite loan officer, which I love agents practicing with a loan officer. And just make sure that you're set up to win. We'll give you all the questions to ask. But if it's not working, I know whose fault it is. You haven't practiced. You went out there and winged it and said, I'm good enough. Well, I just wouldn't risk it. If you're on my sales force, I'd insist. You got to practice this stuff, because we're going to eliminate our competitor and build a lifetime of referrals. And this is important to everybody. I'm sure your broker wants that. If you're married, I'm sure your spouse wants that. Somebody in your life wants that. Somebody who cares about you says, do your best. If you don't practice, could you really say you did your best? Let's set that aside. Let's practice this thing. Listen to all the audios. Practice the vignettes again and again and again. You don't have to be a data analyst. You've got to be a master persuader, a therapist of sorts. And all the questions are here throughout this training series. So give it your best, and let's keep going.